This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Sarah Francisco is a staff attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, online at selcva.org, is that right?
That's right.
And which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to protecting the special places and natural resources of the Southeast. And it's headquartered right here in Charlottesville. And we're honored to have her live in studio. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be here. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming in. We have a lot we want to talk about, and we're going to focus this conversation on the update of your specialty, which is natural forests and the natural forests here in Virginia. And we're going to talk a lot about the George Washington National Forest.
That's right.
But first, give us a sort of a Sarah Francisco 101. Where are you from? And how you ended up at in Charlottesville.
Right. Well, I grew up on a farm, actually, over in the Shenandoah Valley, just about an hour west of here. And
where? In Augusta?
In Augusta County, near a little town called Middlebrook.
Western Augusta, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's
so
beautiful out there.
We think so, too.
Yeah.
We think so, too. It was a great place to grow up, and I spent a lot of time in the fields and the woods on the farm, and that's how I got interested in doing whatever I could to try to protect those lands for all of us and for the future.
So you hit Stanton and keep going.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that is so pretty out there. And so now, why national forests? How is it that you, and I got to ask you, when you're in law school, did you give thought to, you know, I want to work for an organization like Southern Environmental Law Center? Or were you like, I'm going to do tax law? Or what happened when it clicked and you realized that's what I want to do with my law degree?
Well, I actually first heard about SELC when I was in law school and learned more about the organization and the really powerful work that attorneys can do to protect our natural resources and the special places that we care about and our forests and our land and our water. And said that kind of identified that as what I wanted to do and the organization that I wanted to work with. So yeah. I kind of made a beeline for SELC and counted myself fortunate to be able to make a straight line there. And I've been there for about 6.5 years now.
That's great. Well, they do some amazing work, and I'm an admirer of a lot of stuff they do. What's your response just on a very basic level to somebody who might say, you know, you'd be liberal lawyers trying to tree huggers and who cares? I mean, why not just let the coal folks do what they want? Let the tree, the folks who cut down trees and harvest trees, just let them do whatever they want. Let business do whatever it wants with the resources we have. That's why those resources are there. Get out of the way, in other words, and let the market work.
Yeah, well, I think in some respects, though, if you want to talk about business and what's good for business, you know, outdoor recreation is a huge business in Virginia. Sport fishing, hiking, hunting, you know, these are all activities that, you know, millions of people participate in the state, and they come from outside of the state to do it. And those of us in the state enjoy that. And, you know, when you're talking about how to manage the national forests, you know, those are public lands. And I really think that you can strike a balance between, you can manage the forest in such a way that you're conserving the natural resource and you're really promoting an outdoor recreation industry and economy that has a lot of benefit for the state. So it's not just an either or a black and white situation. I think you can have a balance there where you're benefiting, citizens, and you're promoting, you know, public health, and you're also having a benefit for business.
Yeah. Sarah Francisco is a staff attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center and specializes in national forests. Let me ask you this question. We were talking about before we went on the air. What is the difference between a national park and a national forest?
Right. Well, national forests are managed by the U.S. Forest Service, which is under the Department of Agriculture. So it's managed by a completely different agency. And the national forests are managed for multiple uses, for timber, as well as wildlife and fish, watershed protection, outdoor recreation, and wilderness areas. So the Forest Service has what we call the multiple use mandate, and they have to juggle all that and strike a balance. So you wouldn't see, for example, a logging job in a national park, but you might go out to the national forest and hike down a trail that you've hiked down many times before, and suddenly, you know, there's a logging operation there. And that unless that area is protected in a forest plan or by some rule that the Forest Service has adopted, you know, that type of activity can generally occur in national forests.
And the National Park Service, on the other hand, operates our national parks, and that's no logging, no multiple use. It's strictly for the enjoyment of American citizens and guests to enjoy the outdoors.
Right. Right.
And to protect wildlife.
And to protect wildlife and provide that area for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in Virginia, where do we stack up national park, national forest? What do we have more of?
A lot more national forest.
Okay.
We have about 1.8 million acres of national forest land in Virginia.
Wow.
And several hundred thousand acres of national park. So, big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the national forests in this state, you know, Virginia has... you know, more national forest land than some of the adjoining states. It's a really great resource that we have here.
Yeah. We're talking with Sarah Francisco of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Let's talk about the George Washington National Forest, named for Virginia's first son, our first president, and a native of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Where is it? What is it?
Right.
And why are we talking about it?
Right. Well, Virginia has two national forests. The George Washington is one. It basically is the national forest land in the mountains of Western Virginia, more or less from the James River north. South of the James River would be the Jefferson National Forest, has its own forest management plan, separate track. So we're talking about the George Washington.
I'm so glad you just said that, because for years I've gotten them both confused and never knew it was that easy to understand where they were, that one was north of the James and one was south of the
right.
James. Well, thank you.
Well, that's what we're here for.
So the George Washington Forest is generally north of the James, and
right.
the Thomas Jefferson National Forest, south of the James.
South of the James.
Down past Roanoke? Or?
Oh, well past Roanoke. Really all the way through the southwestern tip of Virginia to Tennessee and Kentucky.
So the Jefferson is a bigger landmass in terms...
Actually, it may cover sort of more of the state in that way, but the George Washington is actually bigger.
Okay.
The George Washington, when you're talking about numbers this large, maybe it's hard to really think about, but the George Washington is almost 1.1 million acres of public land. Of national forest land.
Gosh.
So it's a very big block. It's one of the more kind of intact and unfragmented national forests in this whole region.
Yeah, and remind us again where it is, where we're talking about. North of the James, Western Virginia.
Western Virginia.
What counties?
North of the James River. Don't know that I could list them all, but main big counties would be Rockingham, Augusta, Rockbridge County, and then going on south and west of there.
Okay, so it begins just over the, you know,
yeah,
across the Blue Ridge.
Just across the Blue Ridge on the other side of the Shenandoah Valley. You know, if you're on 64 and you're driving over Afton Mountain, all those mountains that you're looking at to the west, a lot of that is national forest land.
Protected, the George Washington National Forest, and protected as much as possible as they balance their charge by the Department of Agriculture.
Right, right.
Okay.
So, and that balancing is comes into play with the management plan. You know, every national forest has a long range management plan that guides the management of the forest and guides decisions that are made about forest management. And the Forest Service revises those plans every 10 or 15 years. And the George Washington's is up for revision.
So this is a key moment then for all the interests, whether you're into conservation or recreation or hunting or logging. Everybody wants a seat at the table to rewrite this plan, I would imagine.
Right. That's right. And the Forest Service has been holding public meetings over the last 6 months or so. And all those folks from all those different points of view have been at the public meetings. And the Forest Service has been, there are lots of issues that come into play with,
yeah.
you know, with the forest plan from timber to recreation and wildlife issues and water issues and...
My guest is Sarah Francisco, a staff attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. You can learn more online at selcva.org. And the phone lines are open if you got a question, 977-1070. Sarah, tell us what the management plan has looked like in the past for the George Washington National Forest? And then we'll talk about what kind of changes we could see in the new plan.
Well, it's maybe I'll start by sort of mentioning how the plan has dealt with some of the places and the resources that we're most interested in the past and sort of what we're hoping to see in the future. One of the key things that we're looking at and something that a lot of citizens are interested in are the roadless areas on the forest. You know, these are the kind of last best places on the forest that have not been carved up by roads. They haven't been heavily logged, you know, in recent decades. And how those areas are managed is a key question. The last forest plan did not fully protect the roadless areas. And in fact, it allowed some logging to occur in them, and it did occur. We'd like to see those areas protected under the new plan, so that you know why do we need to go and punch new roads into these areas? Let's have a balance where the areas that are relatively intact stay that way, and you know other management can happen in other places.
I'm no expert, but I would think that those roadless areas of some of those perhaps old growth forests might be the most appealing to the logging industry. That's where they really would like to be.
Well, it depends. They're still roadless for a reason. And in many cases, those areas are steep and rocky. Sometimes they don't have good timber. You know, they might. I don't want to make an overgeneralization, but there's a reason why those areas haven't been cut over and don't have roads in them. You know, the Forest Service actually has been identifying these areas for about 30 years, and during that time, they've not been consistently protected. They've been identified, and the Forest Service and the public has known about them. And there have been various efforts over the years to protect them. One of those efforts was the 2001 Roadless Conservation Rule that generally prohibited logging and new road building in the roadless areas. And that rule, unfortunately, has been mired in some legal challenges. But, you know, not to get too far down that road, I think, you know, the Forest Service, you know, just looking even at it from a fiscal perspective, the Forest Service doesn't have the budget to maintain the roads that it currently has. It doesn't make sense from that standpoint to build new roads
in
these areas.
So from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, which both parties, you know, I would like to believe would like to uphold, you know, for keeping government trim and lean, it makes sense not to put new roads in these areas because then you got to maintain them and they can't afford to maintain what they got.
That's right.
Interesting.
That's right.
So what other changes you think?
Well, you mentioned old growth forests that might be in those areas, and that's one thing that we're concerned about. There's very little old growth left in the southeast.
What is an old growth forest technically?
Yeah, generally we're talking about forests that are well over 100 years old. It can get very technical, but just to be general about it, we're talking about forests that's well over a century old.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be hard to find in Virginia where, you know, colonization from Europe started.
Right. Well, and very hard to find in the whole southeast. The Forest Service actually has estimated that only about 0.5% of all of the forest in the southeastern United States, and that's including public and private land, is still old growth forest. So you're talking about a very small amount.
It's almost gone. Yeah.
And we would like to see the Forest Service protect what's left.
We're talking with Sarah Francisco, staff attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. What else do we need to know, you think, about what's going on? And when is this plan going to be finished?
Right. What's the timeline?
Yeah.
The Forest Service plans to release a draft for public comment in April. And that's a great time for listeners who are interested in the forest plan. Maybe there are special places that you know in the forest. You're curious how they're going to be managed, or there are particular topics in the plan that you're interested in. It's a great time to make some comments.
Yeah. I mean, especially for anyone who, I'm sure there's not a lot of loggers listening, but I would imagine there's a lot of folks who enjoy fishing and hunting and hiking. Certainly in Central Virginia, it's one reason we all love to live here. A lot of that goes on in the George Washington National
Forest.
That's right. Some of the very best in Virginia.
Right. Right. Yeah, these are, we're really lucky to have these lands in Virginia. So we would definitely encourage folks who care about the forest and who get out and use the forest to, you know, the Forest Service wants to hear public comment. The planners do listen to public comments. They don't always respond the way SCLC would like, but yeah. They do want to hear what the public would like to see
and
in the plan.
And how do people do that?
If you Google GW plan revision, that will take you to the Forest Service website. It's a long web path that I won't get into, but that's the quick way to get there. And you can go to our website, the SCLC website, to see our perspective on the forest plan revision, and that's southernenvironment.org.
There you go. Sarah Francisco, staff attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, southernenvironment.org.
That's right.
There we go. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.